Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're so glad you're listening in with us.
Yes, yes, it's all very, very true.
He's thrilled. He's so interested and intrigued.
He's making a shopping list for later.
Actually,
like, I'm so happy to see you.
I was getting on our Facebook page for the Music Row Show because I wanted to see all the comments. And by the way,
I did tweet that I was going to be on.
See?
That's so
John tweet. Clay Mills says hi. He just put that on the Facebook. Thanks for hanging out with us. We want you to join in the conversation like I just did. Log on to Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Chat along with us. And remember, you can always listen to past shows by clicking the podcast page on TheMusicRowShow.com.
That is so true. And by joining the conversation, you can hit us up on Twitter, @TheMusicRowShow, and of course, Facebook, The Music Row Show.
Twitter. It's what all the kids are doing these days.
Yeah, all those crazy kids.
I tweeted.
Did you?
Really?
Yes, I did.
Thank you so much.
Did you not see it on your Facebook page?
No, we did. We did.
I don't know where to find it. I'm not
really. This whole internet
Someone
thing.
Someone put your bookmark in there. You just press it and goes to your Facebook page.
Yeah, I got on the page.
He has no idea.
Oh, yeesh. Hino, who's this lovely woman sitting here with us tonight?
Well,
as if we don't know.
Making her triumphant return to the Music Row Show is none other than hit songwriter and recording artist Jody Messina, everybody's favorite New Englander turned Southern country star.
Right.
We love that. Jody burst onto the charts with her debut, Heads Carolina, Tails California, and then proceeded to have 6 number ones, 12 top tens, 19 top 40 hits with songs like Bye Bye, I'm All Right, Bring on the Rain, Lesson in Leaving, and My Give a Damn's Busted. And she's got a brand new album out that's awesome. It's entitled Me. And it's coming out in just a few weeks on March 18th, which is her first ever Kickstarter project. We're going to talk about that. A hugely successful Kickstarter project at that. The most successful ever to come out of Nashville. So we're very pleased to be able to say welcome back, Jody Messina, to the Music Row Show.
Yay!
Hello. Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys know I'm full of malarkey.
Well, yeah.
Jody, you put the F-U in fun. And,
thank you.
And we are so glad you came back to visit with us.
She's like, oh my gosh, that's actually a line from
a song.
Yeah.
She's a big fan.
Yeah, so she is.
She's familiar with any lyric you might pull out during this interview.
What's your favorite? Oh, that one.
Yeah, the one you said.
Okay, before we get too deep in the recording and the fundraising on this project, by the way, love. Every song I listen to on this album, congratulations. It's a great project.
Do you say that to everybody that comes in?
No,
I don't.
You say I loved every song, what, track 7, 5, and 3?
No.
We usually say, that was interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Very interesting.
No, let's talk about Jody the songwriter. How has that aspect evolved for you since 1996?
It's been allowed.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Well, it's interesting because I've written songs forever. That's how I started singing and performing live.
What are you really taking pictures?
I'm tweeting. Come on.
Okay. So that's how I hi everybody outside the window. They can't hear us, can they?
Yes, they can.
Oh, they can. Hi everybody. But I always wrote. That's how I got discovered. I wrote a song when my uncle had passed away. I was 12, wrote a song for his services and was somebody had heard the song, played it for a friend, et cetera, et cetera. So I've always been a writer. But, like you guys were talking about earlier, you know, there's a box that people are often afraid to go out of. And so they overthink it and you play them a song. And for years I've been told, well, that's not you. You know, I'm like, well, I wrote it. And they're like, well, it
just
doesn't,
you don't know you.
It doesn't fit you. I know. Who do you think you are?
Yeah. You?
You? That's great.
We'll tell you who you are.
Yeah, exactly. We'll tell you who we need you to be. So this record, it's my own label. I was on a record label for a long time and managed to get into this position where I was able to make a record, any record that I wanted to make. And I chose to do a record with the people, and they played a part in every single aspect, picking the songs, naming the album. The little it's not on that, but on the album
say with
is
the people. You mean with the Kickstarter?
With everyone via Facebook, Twitter, Stage It, YouTube. We posted songs, said thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you want this on the record? Do you not want this on the record?
Wow.
That's how the first single was picked. We had posted it on Twitter and Facebook and had a poll and said, you know, which one do you think should be the number, you know, the first single off the album? We had in 10 days we had like 220,000 impressions. And they chose the first single. They chose the title of the record. They sang on the songs. There's a song called "He's Messed Up" on the record.
Yeah.
Fans actually got a chance to come in and sing on, and it was awesome. We had a blast. And as well as the actual logo for the record company was designed by a sweet, sweet girl, Sandal Cash. I can't remember where she is, but it was via Twitter.
Really?
She tweeted it, and I was like, I love this. And then somebody got in touch with her, and she signed the legal paper that we could use it for the record label, and Dreambound Records was born and created by the people.
Love that. So what was the first inspiration to go down that route, and how difficult was it to pull all the pieces together and, you know, the premiums and all that stuff you got to do when you do a Kickstarter project?
To go down that route, it's very interesting. It was an interesting process because, like I had mentioned, I was on a major label for a very long time. And so when you part ways, there's stipulations and whatnot. And so I couldn't just go out and sign a major deal. You know, I had to,
like
and
a
I had to find a way to get my...
kind of thing? Oh, you can't say. That's cool. Yeah.
It's whatnot, Hino.
Yeah, it's whatnot. Got it.
Yeah. So anyways, I still had so much music left. I had still been recording so much. I mean, the last song I recorded for that, for the label, was a song called Put Me in the Ground. And they were like, we just don't hear it. And so it was really odd that a year later, the band Perry had a number one song with it called You Better Dig Too.
Right.
Right. And I saw the band Perry at CMAs, and I was like, you're the best I told you so ever. And so I'm like, how am I going to go about making my music? How am I going to do this? You know, and I have to find my way through this maze that, you know, there's limitations of what I can do and can't do as far as, you know, label wise and support wise. So I said, well, how about the people? You know, why don't I that's when I started, you know, turning to Facebook and saying, oh, if I made a record, would you have this song on it? You know, and they're really nice and Twitter and Stage It. And then when I got all the songs together, I'm like, how the heck am I going to pay for this?
Right.
It's not in my... An album is huge. And I know that a lot of people during the Kickstarter campaign are like, what is she doing asking for money? And it was like, you don't understand what's going on here. And because for every backer that was a part of the Kickstarter campaign, they got something.
Right.
And if you want to make a record that's of quality with union musicians in the studio, have it mastered and all this stuff.
Sure.
It costs quite a bit of money. And that wasn't in my existing budget. And so I was like, I'm not sure what to do. And it's so ironic. My 19-year-old cousin was living with me at the time. His name is Alex Preston.
Gee, isn't he one of the top 13?
He's one of the top 13 on American Idol. I'm so excited.
Okay.
And he's really, I mean, that's him. He walked around with that guitar on all the time. He'd go down to the river with the guitar on and go through the kitchen with the guitar on. And I heard Keith Urban said to him a couple weeks ago, he goes, you know, that thing comes off. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's him, man. And he's carrying an instrument. But anyways, he said, why don't you do Kickstarter? And I said, what is that?
Like,
and he's like, everybody does it. And I'm like, everybody, okay, cool.
Oh, everybody does it, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, every young artist, writer, singer, songwriter, movie maker, Zach Braff had done one. Mm-hmm. Books, painters, everyone is doing this. There was actually a juice company here in town that does juicing, and they did a Kickstarter campaign for their business.
Really?
So it's in for each donation people gave, they got different stuff. Like they got the single download, or they got the album, or they got a t-shirt and an album, or they got a t-shirt, an autographed picture, and an album. Or you got to be a part of the crew for a day, or I'd play in your backyard, or you could run 3 miles, or you get a phone call from me, or it all depends on what they want. So to simplify it, after getting pulverized by people saying, what is she doing asking for money? I said, look, it's like I'm having a garage sale. And all that money that I make on the garage sale, selling the t-shirts and the CDs and the phone calls and the 3 mile runs and whatever, that money goes towards making this record. And so that's how the people became involved.
So I'm curious, What were some of the premium ideas not used? Were there some that you were like, okay, we can't do that?
There was nothing that I loved that was not chosen, and mm-hmm. there was nothing that I didn't like that I gave as an option.
I see. So the running...
I have this song that I hated and,
yeah.
you know, had people go, oh, we love that. Why would I do that to myself? That happened to me for years at a record label. It's like, sure. I don't like it. It's a hit. You know, yeah. it's like, oh, no. So I could do anything I wanted.
I wanted to do the running 3 miles, but I was wondering if we could space that out like
10 feet at a time.
Yes.
Yeah. Over the next 12 years.
Preferably from the couch to the fridge. Repeatedly.
I come over for lunch every day for 16 years.
Feel the burn.
Feel the burn.
That's chili.
Oh, man.
Chili sauce.
So the actual recording process, talk about what that experience was like versus, you know, the major label process, doing it on your own. How was that different?
That's a very good question. I don't know that it has a difference to do with the major label or the independent label. That recording process for me was probably the toughest of my career because right at the beginning of the Kickstarter campaign, my mother had gone in and had heart surgery.
Oh, boy.
And I was living at the hospital every night and day, 2013. And so I would go into the studio exhausted. They come in every 2 hours to take your blood pressure, give you your medicine, take your vitals. Whatever. The machines would be going beady, beady, you know, all these crazy sounds. So I never slept. So there were days I'd go into the studio and Julian King, who co-produced a record with me, he'd call it. He'd be like, nope. Can't do it today, Jody. And that was a blessing. That was something you couldn't do at the major label. They probably would have forced you to get in there and put your not best down on tape.
Because the clock was ticking.
Because the clock was ticking, right. And so I think that was a blessing, but I don't. That would be the only difference in like major label versus independent label. I will say during the recording of the record, it was the toughest album for me because I was going through such emotional dives, you know, like my mother would kind of wake up one day and then I'd have to go to the studio or she would be asleep for 3 days. So it was just really a emotional and physical because I didn't sleep and I barely moved. Can't you tell? No, but I barely moved. It's true. I sat in a chair for 24 hours a day. My siblings and I would take shifts and that's what we did. And so that was really hard. And it was... There was a song on the record, it's called Like a Kid Again,
mm-hmm.
and it goes, spin in circles till we fall down, laughing all your days begin and end, with make-believe and just pretend, running barefoot in the rain, oh, life was just a game, I'd trade all this real just to feel like a kid again. And I could not sing that song. That was the last song we did the vocal for. Because when I got to the line that said, I will trade all this real just to feel like a kid again, I couldn't sing it.
You'd tear up.
I would cry. And then Julian would go, not today, Jody, not today. Mm-hmm. He's like, what else you want to try? You know, and there were some days my voice was just thrashed. You know when you get tired?
Oh,
the first thing
that
goes is your voice. And then, so I didn't have to be singing and talking and everything. So I was just physically exhausted and I'd go in and he'd be like, sorry kiddo, what you doing next week? You know, and I'm sitting there going, we have these backers that need this, they want this record out, they want this record out, they'll never understand why it's not going to be out next month.
But in this case, I mean, all the tracks were done, right? So it's not like you had a studio full of musicians kind of like, okay, go home now.
No. Oh my gosh. And we need $17 million to make this record. All paid for days off. But no, thank you. Thank heavens. We had 2 days of tracking. We went in, we cut 12 sides. I knew what I wanted when I went in. I knew what I wanted them to sound like. I knew the arrangements. There were a couple that I'd have to work out. My guys, they're here, came over to the house. The song I wrote for Pink that made the record, the He's Messed Up song.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I couldn't get it down. And so I was like, can you come to the house and play this song? And so they went and helped me, you know, put down a scratch so I could take it in and play it for the musicians. And
right.
So, yeah.
Sweet.
Lots of fun, good times, but hard times.
All right. I want to talk more about that when we get back.
Absolutely.
We can. You're listening to The Music Row Show. We are here with Joe DeMasina. We're having a hoot. Stick around. We got lots more.
just dumb. I thought we had something special. Just last night, I used the word love.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with Jody Messina, and that's a track off of her brand new project.
Hey, Katrina, hold on. I got to hear the line, my favorite line in this song.
We're just not good together. Take care and have a good day. Okay. If that's the way you want to do it, if that's the way you want to walk away, I'm not coming undone. I've got nothing but love. You put the F-U in fun.
Love it.
Love that. Put the F-U in fun. Wow. Well, as I mentioned, we're here with Jody Messina. That's a tune called Peace Sign. Off of her brand new project called Me.
And she's here, and all of a sudden there's
a whole
room.
And she brought everybody she knows with her.
The posse, my posse. I come with my
wow.
Well, my crowd. I bring my own crowd wherever I go.
Well, it feels like we should probably take advantage of this and do a song.
What are you singing?
I'm going to do Bring on the Rain, everybody, in D minor. No.
I'd watch it. This is going to
start playing. We're turning it into a ballad waltz.
Yeah,
now.
But with a bluegrass feel.
With a bluegrass feel.
We have a bluegrass feel for you.
I believe it.
You were talking earlier about anthems, and this song is a brand new single. That's why I brought it in and dropped it on your desk.
Sweet.
It actually will be in your email tomorrow.
Nice.
It was uploaded to Play MPE today, and all radio stations will have it tomorrow morning, right when they get in. And this is, it's a woman's anthem. I didn't think that until I started to perform it, and every woman came up, and they're like, oh, that is my anthem. And it sincerely was a true story about. I could share the story with all of you at home.
Sure.
Here, buy me some time.
Buy me some time. Okay, here we go.
So when I first, you have a child, right?
I have a couple.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you give birth to those things, they send you home with them.
Right.
And they don't come. They don't come with the manual.
Nope.
So told us a few basic things. You know, if it cries, it's probably hungry, dirty. Or tired.
Right.
And you have to feed it every 2 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this child, sweet thing, I love him to pieces. You know that because he's now two. But at
he's still around.
He's
yeah.
still around.
Yeah.
So he had to be fed every 2 hours.
They're
She's
going
to love
way.
Me for this because yeah. I do this in my live show and my husband does front of house and he gets mad every time I do this and she's going to love me. So every 2 hours, this child had to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Every day of the week.
The nerve.
So needy.
I know.
What,
get
it
a baby?
Yourself, you baby.
You baby. So after a couple months, I got really sick, run down, exhausted, you know, no immune system, cold, flu, fever, everything. And it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And oh, no, I want to share this with you guys because it's so important.
Well, it is because I've actually, while you're looking for this, I've kept this song from my wife for the very reason of the story.
Do you know
you're
how
telling.
Many men say that to me?
Yeah, I believe it.
They're like, whatever I do, I'm not going to let my wife hear that song.
We don't want her to hear this song. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not kidding. So anyways, about 4:30 in the morning, I wake to the sound of this.
Well, that sounds like home.
No.
And yeah. those of you online, that really is my baby crying.
No.
Really, hi, everyone outside. That is the baby crying.
Yeah.
And I look to my left and I see my husband. Yes! Oh, you know him. Oh, you are him.
Yeah.
So I said a prayer. I was like, God, please make my husband get out of the bed and get the baby. I just felt so bad. I had the chills and I was like all wrapped up. And so he, of course, didn't. Get up,
right.
And I ended up getting up, and, you know, people say, what inspires their songs? I'm like, real life, you know? I got up, I fed the baby, changed the baby, burped the baby, went back to bed, sleep in, I walk into my room, my husband, go ahead, you can do the...
Yeah, that's good. Sounds just like him.
And I went downstairs, and I literally wrote this song in about 10 minutes, which, I'm sorry, he said anthems take years, but, I mean, it was really... And there were about 50 verses cut out of this song.
Right.
Because it literally is a day in the life of me, of what I do. And I didn't, I just wrote it as a gripe session, really. And I remember when I was pregnant, I toured until like 3 weeks before I had the baby. And we were doing a show out here. Out here, and I was big as a house, and I remember like the baby getting up in my lungs, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go sing Christmas songs, and I have a kid, you know, a kid in my lung. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, when this is over with, I'm so gonna have it out with Eve. I'm like, this for an apple. Oh my goodness. And so, anyways, it's just that line is in the song,
right.
And so. I just went downstairs and literally wrote this song in a few minutes, and women all over the world say it's their anthem. It's called A Woman's Rant.
Let's hear it.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Six a.m. I'm out of bed. I stumble through the haze. Ain't no coffee strong enough to get me through my day. One thing to another, there's no time to stop. I hit the ground running and keep running till I drop. I'm taking care of everyone. Oh, my head's in a spin. I tried, but I just don't remember signing up for this. Before I leave the house, I pack a diaper bag with clothes and snacks. Laptop, cell phone, find my keys. Feed the dogs before I leave. Everybody's needs are my responsibility. Sure be nice to have somebody taking care of me, yeah. Pearly gates, I'm gonna have a talk with Eve. There's so many things I can't begin to understand. The differences there are between a woman and a man. You see, women, they do twice the work and get half the pay. Men, they climb the ladder while the women pave the way. They say that we're the weaker sex. I'd have to disagree. Shoes if he'd walk a half a mile in these. Why? When I'm through with this life, oh, I'm gonna have a come to Jesus. You can guarantee when I walk through those pearly gates, I'm gonna talk with Eve. Botox, peels, exfoliate. We have the babies, lose the weight. Laundry, dishes up all night. I try my best to get it right. Husband, kids, work all day. I got PMS and PTA. Find the thing my kid can't find. I need a drink, but there's no time. So many things I have on my list. No wonder why at times, oh, I can seem like such a witch.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Oh, man.
So, let's talk co-writing.
Sorry about the smell of sweaty boot in your face.
No, no. Nice. You know, if I had a nickel for every time somebody said that to me.
Sweaty boot.
So one of the songs on this you co-write with Kathy Bailey from Bailey and the Boys.
Yeah, that's a theme song. Oh, and that literally, that was... Me, okay, I'll talk about that afterwards if you want.
Well, I was just going to say, and then another one is with Lizzie McAvoy, who's a young gal here in town. I've known her since she was just moved here, and
since she was 16.
She's fantastic. What do you look for in co-writers? What are your strengths and weaknesses, and what do you look for to compliment?
I look for fresh ideas because I will tend to write myself into a pattern, mm-hmm. and so because you know we have to write 30,000 songs a year, as you say.
Right, right. Give or take.
Yeah, a few, you know. But so I look for someone that writes in a style that I admire, and I try to go that way because I'm very strong. I have a strong opinion or, you know, outspoken or whatever in the sense of I'll come in with a song half written. Mm-hmm. I'll come in with a verse and a chorus, or I'll come in with, I don't know, Brent's been a co-writer of mine. How would I like to write with?
We go to state parks.
You're all right.
Oh, yeah. We wrote a song called That's God in Jasper, Canada. So, just someone that can help me, you know, put down stuff. Well, that's the way it is with Brent. God love him. He's been so good. He played keys for me for a long time on the road, and I'd have an idea, and I'd be like, Brent, can you help me get this down, or can you play this, or whatever?
So would you make him drag the keyboard into the state park?
Wow. That's a long extension cord.
What were you going to say about Kathy Bailey?
So that song is the title of the record, and it's not about me. I want to talk about me. Not that kind of me. It's a different kind of me. More from a female side. You know, women, they have to fix it if it's broken. They have to heal it if it's sick. They have to put it away if it's not in its place. So for me, I had gone to her, and you have to remember, last year I was living in the hospital with my mother, and so I would go days and days and days without being home, and one day I went home, and at that time I had an 18-month-old, he's now two, so I had an 18-month-old and a 4-year-old boy. Yikes. And I went home one night to get a change of clothes and some food, and I heard my husband behind me say, you know what, we miss you. And I thought, what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, here's my mother that needs me to survive. And here are these children that need me to survive. And it reminded me of a conversation that I went over to Kathy Bailey's house, her daughter, Alyssa Bonagura, who wrote I'm Not Dead Yet with. I wrote with her. And then I was talking to Kathy and I said, I don't know how you do it. How did you do it? Because Bailey and the boys was touring while Alyssa was growing up.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm supposed to be a teacher to these kids that I just want them to be good people, and I don't know what I'm doing myself, you know, and I have to be a parent and a wife and a daughter to my parents and a sibling to my brothers and sisters and a boss to the people that work for me. And oh, don't forget, you have to sing and write too, and you have to do it in the public eye, and you can't have a bad day, and it has to be perfect. I'm like, how do you do that? Because when I look in the mirror, I feel like I should see Wonder Woman, and all I see is me, and that scares me to death. And so she goes, oh yeah, we have to write that. And so it ended up being the title cut of the song. You're more than welcome to play it off the record. I think it's cut number 5, but it talks about, I'm somebody's daughter, I'm somebody's friend, a shoulder to lean on no matter when. I'm somebody's teacher when they don't understand. I've got a seat in the bleachers. I'm the world's biggest fan. And then it says, I wish I was half the woman I've got to be. I wish I had all the answers right in front of me. I'm everything to everyone, and I'm scared as I can be, because when I look into the mirror, all I see is me. Mm. And so it just goes on, and it paints every, you know, what a woman is, you know. And then we get to this. I always tell the women in the front row, don't cry when we sing this song, girls. I won't be able to make it through. And we just did it the other day, and I bought it at the end. I couldn't make it through without crying. But it says, there's one line that says, I have to be perfect even when I feel bad. And I've got to keep giving when I gave all I had. And that line came from, that's when the women are like, bah, you know my life. And that line came to me when I was not feeling well. I was ill, and the baby needed me. I'm like, there are no sick days when you have a child.
Right.
There is no time off. There is no, you know, so that is just real life. This whole record is really just me. Yeah. Me. Guts of my guts on the page.
Which, by the way, comes out March 18th.
March, oh yeah. You can pre-order it now. They have really cool things.
JodyMessina.com.
Check it out. JodyMessina.com. You can pre-order it and get like a t-shirt or a
She'll come
cool
mow your
bag.
Lawn. All kinds of stuff. Yeah.
I'll juggle your kittens. I don't know. I'm kidding. To every animal person, I am an animal person.
By the way, this segment brought to you by the ASPCA. anyways, I think we need to take a
break.
Yes,
let's do that.
We're going to be back.
Jody Messina, but we'll be back in just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show.
Saying I have one foot in the grave, all my dreams would be forsaken, and I won't throw them away.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with recording artist Jody Messina.
I thought I was going to have to write it down and hold it up.
No. I know who
like,
you are.
You went silent for a second.
Yeah, that's all right. That's dramatic pause there. Oh, but we're here with Jody Messina, and that's a tune called I'm Not Dead off of her brand new project entitled Me, which comes out in like 3 weeks on March 18th.
Yes.
So we'll look for that.
We're both doing a William Shatner contest. I know that's by going to JodyMessina.com.
Sweet.
See?
There you
and
do
you
that.
You can pre-order it.
Get
and
t-shirts.
If you pre-order, I'm gonna talk to Craig Ferguson's people tomorrow, and if we sell a certain amount of things, I'm gonna go on his show dressed as a chicken.
Wow!
I'm gonna come up with something. We're gonna come up with something because they're like, all right, what's your idea?
A chicken.
Juggle that
he
robot.
Might, I better be careful. He might have something crazier.
He might have a chicken suit just waiting for you.
No matter you what, know? He's just that kind of guy.
Oh. We got these great players.
I know.
Here.
I can't not use them.
We got so many questions for you, but let's get another song out of you. What do you
say?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I only paid him for one song.
Oh, did you?
Oh,
no,
wow. All right,
we'll take a little
acapella.
We'll pass a hat around the back.
Jukebox. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Golly. All right. Here's a song. These are the songs I'm known for. kind of kiss-off songs, but... It's funny because we just played a date on Valentine's Day. Like, Jonas, for Jody Messina's Valentine's Day show. And I'm like, yeah, because I have so many love songs to fall back on.
Like, bye-bye, baby. Yeah.
Right? My career was built on angst and, you know, bad relationships. But anyways, so this one is a song that was co-written by Amy Daly. She was on the same record label that I was on. And she is just an outstanding writer. We are both in a different situation now as far as label wise, and I was just so proud to cut her songs because it's a chance for them to be heard, and I think she's a really great writer. And anyways, this song is just talks about, you know, you've been in a relationship for long enough time, he ain't giving you what you need to be getting, and in a polite way, I mean, just, you know, there are more needs there that need to be met. And he's not getting it. And so she's like, you know what? I'm breaking it down. She's busting it all to pieces. And it's called Breaking It Down.
All
right.
You must not know me at all if you think that I'm gonna keep holding on to something that's already gone. look at me like you don't understand. You promise you'll try to be a better man. I'd like to believe you, but I can't take that chance. So now I'm letting go.
Blocking her ears.
Love that. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be back with a whole lot more of Jody Messina here on the Music Row Show. All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
That's what it sounds like. The record sounds
the record.
Like the whole band.
We're here with Jody Messina.
We got most of them in here, believe it or not.
Sweet. We're here with Jody Messina, and that, of course, is A Woman's Rant, which we just heard performed live just a few minutes ago, and it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So good. So good.
I read something really interesting where you talked about early on in your career that the career was everything. It was your life.
It is.
Everything else took a back seat. I mean, how critical is that mindset as a young lady in this biz? Because, I mean, we've seen, Hino and I have seen so many young, talented girls come and go. You know, they get caught up in this or that or him. And
yeah, usually
well,
a him.
You know, it's interesting because I just think that's the way that I'm raised. I'm born and raised outside of Boston, Massachusetts, the home of country music. And so very blue collar. Mm-hmm. Like if you wanted a car, you had to work for it. If you wanted a new outfit, you had to work for it. It didn't just come to you. It wasn't just delivered to you. It wasn't. So for me to say, like we were talking off air, I'll call radio stations myself. I'll call people who I believe are my friends throughout the years and be like, hey, bud, let's do something. Or radio stations that play the song. I call every single one of them and thank them. You can ask them. Look at the chart. Every radio station that's playing the song's got a phone call from me, and it takes a little extra work. And you know what? If that's all it takes is extra work, then I'm willing to do it. And that's really you know what? And it's true, because you know, it's just the way that I was raised. We work really hard. If we want something, you go after it. And man, I see it. I see it in my 2-year-old. I mean. Like the dog food bowl, for example. I mean, the attention span of a 2-year-old is not supposed to be that long. And he wants it. He goes to the dog food bowl. Okay, you pick him up. You put him in the TV room. He goes back to the dog food.
Back to the dog food bowl.
Okay, you put it up on the counter. He goes, and then put him in the TV room. He goes into the kitchen, pulls the chair up to the counter, gets the dog food bowl. And I'm like, I swear that's in our blood, you know. Or it's so funny because I'm like, oh my gosh, was I like this as a child? You know, just determined and really, you know, it's just hard work and it's dedication. And that's what it takes. And that's what it took for me. And so, you know, it does take a really understanding group of people around you that get that. My husband, I'm very fortunate that my husband and kids travel with us. My husband does front of house sound. He knows the audio side of things and he knows the engineering part. And so that's great. You know, we can work together and stay together as a family. It's very important. As you say, people can, they get lost in this and get lost in that and get lost in this and that and this and that. don't read your own press. Don't read your own hype, right? Mm-hmm. And also, believe in what's real. If you look at my Facebook post, I think it was yesterday, there's a picture of my Friday, my husband and I holding hands in the mm-hmm. car ride on the way downtown, and I took a picture of our hands, and I'm like, this is what's real. This is what's real. The children, the love for, if you have a friend that'll stand up for you, that's real. You know what I mean? You can get lost in the awards and the fancy fashion, and someone's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get this Gucci bag. And I was like, I could buy my kids a whole wardrobe for that. Yeah. At Target. I don't know. Am I allowed to say that on the air?
Sure, sure.
Just did. Send me a check, Target. Send me a coupon.
A coupon.
But, no, so it's easy. It is easy to get. We were talking earlier about the box. He doesn't look inside the box. It's easy to get lost, what is it, in the room that you're in. So I think they actually said this in church today. If you're in a room, right, you adapt to certain things in certain situations and whatever. It's just like a survival mechanism. And then when you step outside the room, people are like, oh my gosh, look at you. You know, you haven't combed your hair in days. You haven't taken a shower. You haven't, because you've been locked in this room for days. That's kind of the premise of, you can't get so caught up in the show end of the business that you lose who you are. Keep people who really care about you. Not people that expect you to drop the credit card every time you go out, but people who really care about you. People who will bring you dinner when your mother is in the hospital. Do you know what I mean? Those are what's real. And you find out really fast who those people are when the time comes. And so hard work, yes. Sticking around to, you know, dedication, focus on the career, yes. I mean, everything, even a garden. I mean, my husband's a gardener as well as a woodworker.
And a front of house sound guy.
And a front of house guy.
Holy cow.
But you know what? We were on the road so much last year, he didn't get to the garden and the weeds took over and everything died. And I'm like, you get into it. You get out of it what you put into it, just like a relationship with a spouse.
Right.
You know, and your career is the same way. If you expect it all to come to you, at some point it's going to stop coming and you won't know the deal. Or if you work really hard and appreciate everyone along the way. And that's kind of the way I'm taking this whole new album. All of it is about appreciation. Read back through the Facebook posts over the last year.
Right.
How many times I've said, I cannot believe you showed up. You know, I cannot believe you guys are here. I absolutely appreciate you. Or I'll just wake up in the middle of the night and be filled with gratitude. Like, I just wanted to let you guys know. You have moved mountains on my behalf. And for that, I'm grateful. Because it's not a given. Mm-hmm. It is not a given. And so all the stations that play the record, man, thanks. All the, you know, thank you guys. And the people that support the music, thank you. Come from a place of appreciation and get ready to do some hard work.
Get ready to do some hard work. Well, speaking of hard work, I want to touch on, you've got a great blog, Fumbling Mom, that you do.
Yes, I write. I also write for, you might want to check out my latest on Babbel.com. Babbel, yep. I'm a Babbel voice, Babbel.com, and it's a Disney-owned company that, again, I don't know if I'm getting in trouble for dropping names here and there. Go Opry! but anyways, I write for them a lot, and It's just not at all an advice column. It is a, oh my gosh, you won't believe what my kids stuck in the toilet today or whatever. You know, it's like funny stories of fumbling your way through parenthood because nobody knows what they're doing.
Right.
You're just finding out along the way. So I write that.
Yeah. I mean, do you talk about the realities of like you were just talking, you tour with the family and the balancing that family with the realities of being out on tour?
I do. And I take pictures and we'll go like, you won't believe this gig. I can't even remember the city we were in, but we pulled up. It was freezing cold. I remember it was like Michigan, Minnesota, one of those freezing cold MI states. And anyways, so I had the boys with me and I'm like, what am I going to do with them all day in the cold? And I swear I'm not making this up. The theater we played was in the back of, like if you flipped it, walked around the front of the building, it was a children's science adventure museum.
Oh.
I'm like, really, God?
Thank you.
Like, no, this is a God thing. How many theaters are in the back of a science center for kids when I have two kids that need to be entertained all day? And they spend all day in there learning about spaceships and sand and everything else.
Quantum physics.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Wow. We just have another couple of seconds.
They're throwing me out.
Nah,
I have to go battle the trash can.
No, you can stay as long as you want. We'll just be gone. They're kicking us out. Facebook, you're all over Facebook. You talk about that. There's so many platforms out there.
Yes.
And Facebook is actually getting harder and harder to reach everybody that, that you want to reach. What are you looking at now in the future as far as new social media things that you're trying to start getting a presence in?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Those are the norm. And then now there's a lot of stuff going, like musically. There's a lot of music outlets mm-hmm. that we can go to and a lot of blogs that we can get to. And talk about the music or just talk about my stuff and that way. It's a way to keep connected to the fans and the people that really care. And the people that really care mean a lot to me. And I believe that every single one of them knows it.
Nice.
Sweet. So jodymessina.com, that's your website.
Uh-huh. Facebook.
Fumblingmom.com. Babbel.
And babbel.com.
And then, of course, on Facebook, just find you at Jody Messina on Facebook.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
Instagram.
And I'm sure a few dozen other things that were.
She's everywhere.
I know she is. But hey, really, I listened to it today. It's a great album. It's called Me. Comes out March 18th. You can pre-order it at jodymessina.com. You'll love it. It's a really, really good project.
Jump on it right now. Come see us at the Whippoorwill tomorrow. We're raising money for the Meals on Wheels in Gallatin.
That's right. And if you happen to be in Belfast, Ireland this week, come see us
there.
We'll see you next week on the Music Row Show.